The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 31 to 36. And our theme this evening is above all. Jesus is above all. John 3, 31 to 36. Let us hear God's word. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This is God's word. Let us pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we come now to a time of hearing from your word. I do ask that you would cause us all, young and old, to be attentive to the preaching of your word. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who speaks, that you are a God who is not silent. So tonight, may we hear your word. May distractions be put aside. May the cares of the week be put aside. And may we focus upon Jesus. Lord, I do pray that we as believers tonight would grow in the grace of our Saviour. But Lord, I also pray for those here tonight who may not know you. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be lifted high, and that as he is lifted up, he would draw all people to himself. So Lord, tonight we ask that you glorify your name, and that Lord, you speak. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. In 1966, 20 years before I was born, now some of you were there, but some of us weren't, I'd say the majority of us here tonight weren't there in 1966, but in 1966 there was a band that was at the height of their fame. There was a band that had the world at their feet, and they were known as the Beatles. And in 1966, they did their big tour of the USA, and it was said that as they travelled around the country, people would line up for days just to buy tickets for their concerts. Today, if we want a ticket to a concert, we jump online and we purchase our ticket, and then we print it out. But back then, to get a ticket, you had to line up, and people did. They spent days lining up to go and hear the Beatles. In fact, the police said the Beatles tour was a bit of a headache for them because they had to put on extra officers to ensure the safety of the band. It looked like the Beatles were going to have world domination in 1966. However, all that came crashing down in August of that year when John Lennon gave an interview that caused mass outrage. In this interview, John Lennon was asked his thoughts about Christianity. And Lennon replied by saying these words, "Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right and I'll be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting it that ruins it for me." That's what he said in an interview. And historians have since said that that quote is probably what brought about the fall of the Beatles. Because after Lennon made that statement, the concerts were protested. People burned the albums of the Beatles. Sales plummeted. And after 1966, the Beatles never again performed a commercial concert, with the band finally breaking up in 1970. They fell, but Jesus remained. And throughout history, there have been people who have looked at Jesus and been jealous of his success. So what they've wanted to do is push Jesus aside and say they are greater than Jesus. We have seen that in recent history with the communist governments of the USSR. In the USSR, they said that Christ and his church were to be no more. They actually set up museums and monuments to atheism. Yet where is the USSR today? It is gone. It lays in ruins. The once great superpower is now a footnote in human history. But what about today? Are there still people who try to usurp Christ, who try to push Jesus down and elevate themselves? Well, yes, we see people like that today. In fact, the communist government in China the other day were reported as saying they were concerned about the growth of the evangelical church in their country. They were worried that Christianity, that religion they sought to destroy, was growing stronger and stronger every day. Jesus remains. And the Chinese communists know that their day is numbered. And as we come to tonight's passage and we continue in John chapter 3, we see John the Baptist lifting high the name of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist holds up Christ and he says, Christ is above all. Jesus is number one. And all the earthly powers, no matter how great they may be, are nothing when it comes to being compared to Jesus. Earthly powers come and go. But Jesus remains. And as we look at our passage tonight, we need to remember the context that John is speaking into. John the Baptist is actually addressing his disciples in this narrative. The disciples of John the Baptist, what they had done is that they had become jealous of Jesus. They saw the crowds going to Christ and they said, no, 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 they're meant to come to me, they're meant to come to us, we're meant to be the famous ones. So they go to John the Baptist and they complain to him. And they say, John, you know that guy that you testified of, that guy that you baptized? Well, everyone's now going to him. Shouldn't they be coming to us? And John rebukes them. John corrects them. And he says, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. He is to be lifted high. He is the one that is above all. And that's what we see John speaking of here. He's saying, forget you. Lift high Jesus. Jesus is above all. And we see that particularly in verse 31. Jesus is above all. Now, we live in a society, in a day where Jesus is not considered as being special or unique. A generation or two ago, if you had gone out into Newquay with a clipboard to do a survey and you asked people, who is God? The majority of people would have responded by saying, the God of the Bible. They would have referenced Christianity. But today, in our generation, things have changed for the worse. Today, we have moved away from biblical foundations, and now we have entered into a realm that says you can make up your own truth. You can make up your own reality. Truth is whatever you want it to be. Now, to be quite honest, that's foolishness. Because truth is true no matter what you think. But this form of thinking has actually crept into religious thought. And now our society says that all religions are true, all gods are equal. Our culture would say that Allah of Islam or the millions of gods of Hinduism are all on an equal footing with Jesus. But what we see here in our text is the complete opposite. What we see in the text is not that Jesus is on the same footing with all these other gods. No, what we see is that Jesus is above all. Jesus is superior. Jesus is preeminent. He is number one. You see, the Bible makes it very clear to us that there is only one God, and that is not the God of Islam, nor is it the gods of Hinduism. The only God, the only true God, is the God of the Bible. the false gods of the nations and the false gods of the other religions are nothing but demons that try to copy John Lennon in saying, we're greater than Jesus. But just like John Lennon, they will fall, and they are nothing compared to the majesty and the greatness of Christ. So John the Baptist declares the wonder of Jesus when he says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is on the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. This is a grand statement, a wonderful statement that tells us of just how great Jesus is. You see, John says that Jesus is from above. That is, he is from heaven. And Jesus stands in contrast to those who are of the earth. That means Jesus stands in contrast to people like you and me. Jesus stands in contrast to all people. You see, right away, John wants his disciples and indeed us to realize, he wants us to grasp this truth that Jesus is greater and we are not that great at all. Now, I know today we have the whole self-esteem message. Hey, you're great, you're brilliant, you're wonderful, you're number one. But John the Baptist says, actually, you're not. Jesus is number one. And John says, he who is from heaven, he who is from above, is above all. But those who are from the earth, well, they're earthly. They're nothing when compared to Christ. See, those who are from the earth, those who are earthly, they're bound by the natural world. They have a beginning and they have an end. They are born, they live, and they die. And that's true for all of us. You see, we are the earthly people. We are the people from the earth. We have a starting point, and we will have an end point. But Jesus is not like that. John says, that's what you and I are like. We have a start, a middle, and an end. You're earthly. You're bound by the laws of nature. Yet Jesus comes from above. He isn't bound by our natural world. He comes from outside the created order. He comes from a place where there is no beginning and no end. Jesus comes from above. In other words, Jesus is God. The one who comes from above, he who comes from heaven, is the one who comes from eternity, which is a reference back to Isaiah 57 verse 15, which says that God inhabits eternity. So John is saying, you know that God that inhabits eternity? You know that God that has no beginning? That God that has no end? That God who has always existed and always been? That God. He who is from above is Jesus Christ. And he has come down to be amongst us, the people who are earthly. You see, John the Baptist has the right understanding of who Jesus is. His disciples didn't. His disciples looked at Jesus as competition, as someone else trying to muscle in on their ministry, trying to take their business. But that's not what Jesus is about. Jesus is the one that all people should be looking to. Jesus is the one that we all should adore. Jesus is the one who is above all. And it doesn't matter how great you are. It doesn't matter how wonderful you are. The grandeur and the greatness of your life is never going to come into comparison with Jesus. You don't even rank on the same scale. John the Baptist knew that. John the Baptist was a great man. His disciples thought he was pretty good. Even Jesus said in Matthew 11:11 that John the Baptist was the greatest man born among women. Jesus declared that John was great. But even that greatness of humanity is nothing compared to Christ. See, John was great in who he was and what he did. God called John to a special task. His job was to prepare the way of Messiah. John's birth was special. His entire life was unique. He was great. Yet if we were to put him next to Jesus, we'd go, John who? Who is that one trying to compare himself to Christ? There's no comparison. Jesus is far superior. John, like you and I, is earthly. But Jesus is from above. Jesus is truly God and truly man. Jesus has no beginning and no end. Jesus is from all eternity. Jesus has always existed. Jesus is the one who creates and sustains all things. Jesus is the source of life and light. Jesus is the one who lays down his life on the cross and then takes it up again. Jesus is the one who has all authority and rules over all the nations. Jesus is the one who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is above all. And that's what John the Baptist wants his disciples to realize, and that's what we need to realize. Jesus is above all. He is wonderful. He is great. And we have this wonderful privilege of knowing him. Think of the greatest person in the world today. Think of the most famous celebrity. Chances are we will never meet them. And if we did, we would say it was wonderful to meet this famous person. The fact is, we get to meet and know Jesus, who is above all. And what is truly amazing is that this Jesus, who is above all, this one who is from heaven in love, came down to this earth to find us and to know us. When you find a celebrity in our world, we go scrambling to see them. If you heard a celebrity was walking around the streets of Newquay, we would go out looking for them. But Jesus doesn't expect us to come looking for him. We can't. There's none of us who naturally seek after God, as Romans tells us. Rather, what we see is Jesus, who is above all, leaves the glories of heaven. He steps out of perfection and he comes down to live amongst us. He dwells amongst us. Jesus comes to this world that he has created. This one who is above all comes down to this corrupt, broken planet in order to rescue us. Jesus enters the darkness. He lives in this sin-broken world, and he does it for a purpose. He comes to this earth for those who are earthly. He comes to this world because he knows that we need rescue. He comes to this world because he looks and he sees that we have rebelled against him in thought, word and deed. We have all turned our back on him. We've all rebelled against God, from the youngest to the oldest. We have all turned our back on our Creator, and as a result, we deserve death and judgment. Yet the one who is above all, the one who is from heaven, steps down into the darkness, and he comes in love to rescue us. He goes to the cross on our behalf. He dies the death that we should die. He is crucified, dead and buried. But then on the third day, he rises again. Jesus, the one who is above all, humbles himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we might be forgiven. That is tremendous. That is wonderful. And that's what John says to his disciples. Jesus is above all. You're nothing. He's everything. But then John keeps building. He says, the words that Jesus speak, they are true. And you should listen to them. The words of Jesus are true. We see that in verse 32 to 35. See, John tells us that the one from above has given us a testimony. Now, a testimony, think courtroom. I don't know if you've ever seen those courtroom dramas. I occasionally watch Judge Judy. I will admit it. She's a scary lady. But if you ever watch Judge Judy, what happens is someone will go before her and they have to tell her what's going on. That's a testimony. That's someone testifying, saying this is a true statement. This is what's going on. And John tells us that Jesus has come down and he has given us a testimony. In other words, God comes down to us and he speaks. God is here and he is not silent. God doesn't leave us in the dark saying, "Find me if you can." No, he comes to the darkness and he gives a testimony. He speaks to us. And this is a vital truth for us to grasp, because there are so many people that say, "You can't know God. God's not knowable." But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible wants us to know him. So he comes and he speaks to us. He gives us his testimony. He loves the people of the world so much that he speaks. This is an act of love. This is an act of God revealing himself. God says, "Here I am. This is what I want you to know. This is my word. This is how you can know me." Now today we still have God speaking to us. We find his word in the Bible. The Bible is the testimony of God. The Bible is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells his disciples, he says, "Look, Jesus has come down from heaven. He stepped out of the glory of heaven. He came down here amongst us and he gave us his word. He gave us his testimony. He spoke." Now think about this. If, let's say, the Queen came to New King and she walked into the chapel after the service and said, "Excuse me, can I get your attention for a moment?" All of us would say, "Oh yes, we're going to listen. The Queen's here. Of course you're going to listen to her. She's important. She's famous. She has authority in this realm." You'd expect that's how people would respond to the words of Jesus. But they don't. John says no one receives his testimony. The one who is above all comes down, he speaks, and people don't listen. Now keep in mind, John is speaking to his disciples. He's saying, "You guys aren't listening. You guys aren't paying attention to Christ. You've chosen not to listen. You're not listening to the one who is above all." See, the disciples of John, they plugged their ears and said, "We don't want to hear his word." But in reality, they are merely a reflection on the vast majority of the world tonight. Perhaps they're even a reflection of some people in this chapel. "I'm here because I have to be here. It's a thing to do. But I don't want to receive the testimony of Jesus." See, many people the world over plug their ears. They don't want to hear the words of Christ. They don't want to believe them. They don't receive his testimony. And just over a month ago, we had Christmas, and people the world over stopped and they sung Christmas carols. And in those Christmas carols, we have the testimony of Christ. We have wonderful statements about who Jesus is. Yet how many of those people who sung the carols a month or so ago are now listening to Jesus and following him? Not many at all. Because people do not want to receive his testimony. There are people who grow up in the church, people who go to Christian school or perhaps go through homeschooling, who hear Bible stories, who hear the truth of Jesus, yet they've chosen to block their ears. They've chosen not to believe. They've decided not to receive his testimony. They know the truth. They've heard the Bible accounts. They know that Jesus is above all, but they say, "I don't want to hear it." They choose not to receive his testimony. They wouldn't do that if the Queen stood here. But they'll do it for Jesus. Which leads to a big question. Why? Why? Why would someone reject the testimony of Jesus? Why would the disciples of John the Baptist block their ears? Why would people today continue to reject Jesus and his word? Well, we know why. Jesus told us why. If you are not prepared to listen to the testimony of Jesus, if you are a person who says, look, I'm just here because I have to be here, but your ears blocked, Jesus says why you have your ears blocked. Jesus knows all about you and he's got your number. He knows why you're not listening. In John 3:19-20, Jesus says, here's why they won't listen. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That at the heart is why people don't listen. That is why the disciples of John the Baptist wouldn't listen. That is why people the world over won't listen. And tonight, if you are not trusting in Jesus, that is the reason you're not listening. It's because you love your sin. You love darkness and hate the light. You would rather enjoy that which damns someone to hell than to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist says to his disciples, that's your state. You won't listen. You won't receive the testimony of Jesus. That is sinful. And tonight, if you're not listening to the words of Christ, then you too are in sin. You see, we reject the testimony of Jesus in a variety of ways. For some of us, it's outright rejection. I want nothing to do with Jesus at all. There could be some people who say that. I'm not interested. I don't care. And I know people in churches can say that. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because when I was 16 years old, my parents convinced me to go to church. And I went to church to keep Mum happy. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to watch the Sunday night movie. I went into church with my ears, fingers basically in my ears, saying, I don't want to hear the testimony of Christ. But the voice of God is loud. And when God speaks, we have to listen. When God says, I will pursue you, we cannot run. For me, I didn't want to hear, but I heard the voice that night, and I believed. And some people, perhaps tonight in church, have got their fingers in their ears saying, I don't want to hear. But the voice of God is loud. And you cannot escape his voice. You cannot escape the knowledge of God. You might say, I don't want to hear the word of God, but then you walk outside and you look up and you see the stars and the heavens above declare that there is a God. You drive along the coast and you see the beauty of creation, and the creation shouts to you, there is a God. And then you open the Bible and Jesus speaks and says, I am that God. I am the one from above. I am the one who is above all. You see, some people just don't want to hear because they love sin. Others are a bit more subtle in the reason they don't want to hear. They might say, well, look, I like that Jesus character. He's a nice chap. Gandhi, the famed Indian pacifist who was had many issues, he said, I like Jesus, I don't like his disciples. He created the Jesus that he was comfortable with. Yeah, I like Jesus, but you know, I like his doctrine on love and helping people, but that whole repentance issue, no thanks. Other people will say, well, look, I like Jesus when he says care for the poor. That whole sexual ethic, that's not for me. You see, people say, I want to hear part of what Jesus says, but I don't want to receive his word fully. But Jesus doesn't give us that option. He's not like a buffet where we pick and choose what we want to hear. You have to hear the whole voice of Jesus. You have to hear his whole testimony. And we cannot ignore his voice. The one who is above all has authority to speak. And when he speaks, we must listen. The one who is from heaven speaks and he gives his testimony. And we might say, I don't want to believe. I don't want to hear it. But we still can't escape it. And we're still going to have to give an account to him for rejecting his testimony. But then John tells us something. He says some reject. But then in verse 33 to 35, we see that some don't reject. And John is telling us there's really two types of people in the world. Those who say no to Jesus and those who say yes. Those who won't listen and those who do listen. Now those who do listen, according to Jesus earlier on in John chapter 3, are the people who are born again. They are the people whom the Spirit of God has made alive so that they can hear and respond to the voice of Christ. And John says those people receive the testimony of Jesus and they certify that God is true. In other words, the only way to know who God is, to know the truth of God, is to hear Jesus and respond to him. If you want to know who God is, you have to go through Jesus. If you want to understand who God is, you must hear the word of Jesus and you must respond. That means those in other religions and other spiritualities, even though they may have nice things to say, ultimately don't know God. Jesus says if you want to know that God is true, you must hear his word. You see, the good news of the gospel is that God has given us the word of truth. He has given us the word of God. He has given us Jesus. And Jesus comes to us and he says, I can tell you about God, the God you know who exists, the God you know who is there. I can tell you about that God. And if you want to know him, you have to receive my words. And all this points up to verse 36 in John chapter 3. All this is building to a point of response. Something the Gospel of John does so well is it always drives us to a point of saying, what will I do with Jesus? You see, John the Baptist, when he speaks, says, this is who Jesus is. He is above all. He is from heaven. There is one group of people who do not listen. And there's another group of people who do listen. There's a group of people who will not receive Jesus, and there's a group of people who will. And so far, he's just dealing with information. He's dealing with facts and truth. We can sit through a lecture and say, yep, I agree with that, John. But then John turns it around and says, and which group are you? Where do you stand in relation to Jesus? Because Jesus and his testimony, Jesus and who he is and what he says, demands a response from us. You see, John tells his disciples, this is who Christ is. And now there's only two possible responses. You can either turn away from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can continue in your sin and not believe in Christ. They're the only two options. They're the only two ways to respond. Are you for Jesus or are you against Jesus? There is no middle ground. Jesus said it's all for him or none for him. You cannot be indifferent to Christ. You cannot say, well, I'm going to listen to some of Jesus' words. I like those bits. But I'm going to reject other parts. You can't do that. It's all or nothing. All for Jesus or none for Jesus. And John pushes us as we read to go, which way will I go? Am I all for Jesus? Or am I none for Jesus? And in verse 36 it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John is saying, what camp are you in? Where do you stand? Jesus, the one who is above all, has left the glories of heaven. He has come down and dwelt amongst us. We have heard his testimony. We have heard his words. We have seen his display of love and grace. We see his amazing kindness in that even though our sin said death and judgment, Jesus went to the cross and he was judged on behalf of sinners. He died the death that we should die. We see that amazing act of love, that Jesus dies for guilty, condemned people. We see that he is placed in a tomb, but then 3 days later, that tomb is empty. And when we see that, when we understand that is what Jesus has done, our response should be one of belief. We should look at that and say, that is incredible. God is so good. God is so kind. I'm going to turn from my sin and I'm going to trust in Jesus who loved me and died for me. That's how we should respond. And John says here in verse 36, if you believe in Jesus like that, then you have everlasting life. You have forgiveness of sins. You have right relationship with God restored. And you are assured of heaven when you die. But there's another response. People see that and they say, no thanks. I don't believe. I don't accept that. And John warns us and says, if you respond that way, then you will not have life. Rather, you will have the wrath of God upon you. Think about that for a moment. The holy God, who created the world and all things, the God who knows everything, the God who is almighty and all-powerful, the God whom the Bible says the heavens and the earth flee away from. The God who is holy, holy, holy. That God says, if you do not believe the Son, then my wrath is upon you. God sets himself against us and says, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am against you. My wrath is upon you. You face judgment. You face hell forever. Because your sins are not forgiven. And because you have rejected the only way of salvation. And John says, what camp are you in? Where do you stand? Jesus, who is above all, has come down to this earth to rescue us. He died on the cross. He rose again. And now he calls on us to repent and believe. Do you believe? Or do you not believe? There's no middle ground. And as we conclude John chapter 3, I want us to see the push that John is giving us. He's pushing us into a point of decision, a point of response. He says to his disciples, what camp are you in? And he speaks through the ages to you and I tonight and says, how do you respond to Jesus? If you have believed, then you have life forever. Because Jesus has loved you and saved you. If you've trusted in Christ, then you say, praise God, I know the one who is above all. He has rescued me. But if you don't believe, then you are heading towards God's wrath and judgment. And I don't say that with any glee at all, because I do not want you to face that. let me finish by asking a question. Let me speak to those listening who may not have believed. Hear the words of Christ. Christ says, if you do not believe, God's wrath is upon you. Now here's the question. Knowing that is what Jesus says, knowing that that is what God's testimony declares, are you prepared to go home tonight, lay your head on the pillow, and go to sleep, knowing that God's wrath, his anger, and his judgment burns against you? Are you prepared to close your eyes in sleep saying no to Jesus? I would rather have his judgment. I would rather face wrath. Are you truly prepared to do that? If the answer is no, then come to Jesus. Come and trust in him. Believe in the one who died and rose again. Turn from your sins and come to the one who is above all. Oh, he is so kind and wonderful. Though our sin be great, though our sin be massive against us, our Saviour is so loving and kind to rescue us, because Jesus took the full judgment and the wrath that we deserve. Come to the Saviour, come to the one who is above all, and love him and serve him. Where you're sitting tonight, you can trust in the Saviour. Wherever you are listening, you can say, Jesus, I need your rescue. Please forgive me. I turn from my sins and I want to follow you. And I would urge everyone to consider Christ tonight. If you say, well, I need to get right with God, but I don't know how. I don't know what to say. I don't understand it all. And please talk to me after the service. I'll be more than happy to introduce you to the one who is above all, the one who loved me and saved me. Let me come and introduce you to him. Let's pray together. Oh, our God and our Father, we thank you for your word, the testimony that you have given, that Jesus, the one who is from above, the one who is from heaven, has come down to this earth to save us. Lord, tonight may we hear his voice, and may we who are believers rejoice in our great God. May we celebrate the fact that Jesus took the full judgment and the wrath that we deserve upon himself on that cross. And may we sing his wonders. But Lord, if there be any listening tonight who at this point of time have not trusted in the Saviour, those who are under the wrath of God, young or old, Lord, we pray tonight that they would get no rest until they come to the Lord Jesus, trusting only in him. May they see your kindness and your mercy tonight, and that you are the Saviour who rescues from sin. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through the saving of souls. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.